this land, healing the nations. But that promise comes with a condition. And that is why verse 14 begins with if. If my people, he starts with a condition, but again, he brings in the my people, which is very important to me. God knows that we are his people. Even if we are sin, he's recognizing that we are his children. He said, if my people who are called by my name, we are called by the name of God. He knows that. And he loves us so much that he can call us his children. He said, if we, number one, humble ourselves. So the first thing God wants from us is to come before him and, number one, humble ourselves. God wants us to be humble because that is who he is. He wants us to humble ourselves. Number two, he said, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, and number three, turn away from our wicked ways. So it's not just humbling ourselves, it's not just praying, it's not just seeking his face, but there is a call for us as individuals, as his church, as a nation, to turn away from our wicked ways. That is an invitation God is giving, is putting out tonight for you, for me, for the nation. If we turn away from our wicked ways, then the result of us coming before God, humbling ourselves, seeking his face, praying and turning away from our wicked ways, the result is that he will hear us. Amen. How many times do we go to God? You go to God, sometimes you feel like he's not listening. But God is saying, if you come to me and you humble yourself, you seek my face, you pray, and you turn away from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And when he hears, there's something he says in 1 John 1:9, he says, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. So when he hears from heaven, these are the things he's going to do when he hears our prayers from heaven. He says, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God is ready tonight to forgive our sins, to forgive my sins, and he is ready to heal us. Verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Not just in this local church, but in all the local churches in this valley and throughout the nation. God's ears will be open, his eyes will be open, and he will hear our prayer when we come to him with humility. When we come to him, the sole purpose of seeking his face and turning away from our wicked ways. He says he will hear, he will heal our land, and his eyes will be open and his ears will be attentive to the prayer that we will offer. And I know I came here to pray. No matter how many people are here, we came here to pray, and I want God to hear us. So I want to invite us to go before God tonight, just begin by just asking him to forgive us. I just want to give you 5 minutes to talk to God. His promise that he will forgive you. Are we humble enough? Are we turning away from our wicked ways? Are we indicting him because of this crisis? Just ask his mercy upon you. And if you can call that sin by name and ask him to forgive you. Say, when we come and we humble ourselves and we pray and seek his face and turn away from our wicked ways, then So God will only heal, God will only hear us, God will only be attentive to our prayers when we repent from our wicked ways and turn towards Him and embrace Him. He wants you to do that tonight. He sees your heart right now. Even if you are at home right now, God sees your heart. There's no way we can deceive Him. There's no way we can lie to Him. Just come before Him in humility and say, God, I have sinned. Forgive me. Do not allow the enemy to hold you down in that sin. Just ask God to forgive you and cleanse you in the power of His blood. Let's ask God to forgive us as a church, as His body. How are we doing in the area of loving one another? How are we doing in building one another up? How are we doing in unity? How are we doing in encouraging one another? Let's ask God to forgive us as a church, even tonight. How about laziness? How's your Bible study life? How's your prayer life? Let's ask God to forgive us. He's called us to reach out to the lost. How are we doing in that area? The Bible says sin is a reproach to a nation, but righteousness exalts a nation. Can you just come before God now and lift up this country, America, to the throne of God and just ask God to forgive us? For we have turned away from His ways and we've embraced the ways of man. Let's ask God to forgive this nation, forgive the leaders, and forgive everyone in this nation that has turned away from Him. That once again, righteousness will exalt this nation. We need You, God. And we beg for Your mercy tonight, Jesus. I pray that You will forgive us, God. Deliver us from the power of sin. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. How many times have we doubted the goodness of God? How many times have we, in the midst of a crisis, reject the sovereignty of God, reject His goodness? Forgive us, God. I want somebody to pray, even as the songwriter said, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not." And in Isaiah chapter 1, God says, "Come, come, let us reason together." He's always ready. His hands are always open to embrace us. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. The Bible says that the mystery of the kingdom has been revealed to us, which means God has entrusted into our hands, into our very hands, the mystery of the kingdom. What are we doing with that? Are we sitting on it every day, or we are running out there and telling people about this mystery? Forgive us, God. Forgive us. The Bible says in every situation we should give thanks to Him. Because everything, not some things, not sometimes, everything at all times worketh for the good of those who love Him. Everything. And sometimes as a human being, I get to struggle a lot with that. But I want you tonight to just come before Him and appreciate Him for your life. Just thank God for what He is doing in your life. Think about His mercies upon you every day. Think about His goodness. Think about His provision. Think about life in Jesus Christ. Think about all the things He's done for you. Even the negative things, you see them as negative things. But I want you to come before Him tonight and say, God, thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for Jesus in me. Thank you for making me the temple of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for making me a new person in Christ. Thank you for delivering me from the power of sin. And thank you for your grace that enables me every day to overcome sin. What about physical things that we have, which sometimes we think that those things are entitlements? They are not entitlements. Everything we have, they come from the Lord. It's a blessing. Can you thank Him even for the water you drink every day, for the food you eat every day, for a roof over your head? Can you thank Him for your family? Can you thank Him for calling you to reach out to the lost? Can you thank Him for fighting your unseen battles? There are a lot of battles that we cannot see with our eyes, but God is fighting those battles for us. Can you thank Him for health, for good health? Thank Him for calling you His son, His daughter. What about the struggles we go through? Can you just thank Him and bless His name for giving you a fight, for giving you storms? Thank God for giving you struggles. In Romans chapter 5, he says, we do not only rejoice in the fact that we've been set free, but we rejoice in our afflictions. And the only way you can rejoice in your afflictions is when you come to Jesus and surrender fully to Him. Because in the midst of afflictions, His grace is always sufficient for you. Can you thank Him for His grace? Can you thank Him for the leaders He's given you? Can you thank Him for the pastor? Can you thank Him for everybody that He surrounded you with? Brethren, I tell you tonight, there are many people in other parts of the world. They go to bed, they are not sure if the next day they will wake up. There are many people in other parts of the world, they don't have the freedom to walk into a building like this and worship God freely. There are many people in other parts of the world that are unable to carry a Bible and walk on the street freely. Can you just thank God for the freedom of worship He's given you in this nation? Are we taking anything for granted? Just thank Him. Thank Him. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, God, and we want to thank You. We want to thank You for the great things You're doing for us as individuals, as a church, as a nation, as families. We thank You, God, for blessing us with life in Jesus Christ. For every day we work in that miracle, the miracle of Christ in us. God, we thank You for that. We thank You, God, for provision. We thank You, oh God, for Your protection. We thank You for fighting battles, oh God, that we cannot see. We thank You, God, for destroying the powers of the enemy and destroying all forces of darkness that are coming against us. We thank You, God, that every day we have the power, we have the grace, oh God, to renew our minds. Lord, we thank You, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that every day we can come to You as a Father. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You for all the things You're doing, for the things that You will continue to do. And we thank You, God, even as our brothers come up right now to lead us to pray, we thank You, God, that You're going to hear and You're going to answer us. And I pray You will bless this time for Your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. So tonight I ask a couple of people to lead us to pray. So Mr. Bruce is coming, and then Jim, and Claude, and then Pastor Dan. So they have their various topics. If you want to come and lead us, and we are going to pray together.
Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's urging us to pray for leaders, and I wanted to share Proverbs 21:1. It says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He, the Lord, turns it wherever he will. And I was thinking that in Washington, D.C., we have lots of kings, lots of different leaders, people in high authority in Washington, D.C., and they need prayer. So I'm just going to lead us in prayer. You follow along and repeat and pray however you want. Heavenly Father, we come to You this night, and we come to You with the leadership of this nation, asking, oh God, that You would be stirring in the hearts and minds of all those that are in authority and high places in this nation and in our state here. God, we come before You this night, asking Your good hand to be on President Trump, that You'd be with Vice President Pence and the task force that he is heading up in regard to this coronavirus. And Lord, we pray for others in Washington, D.C. who have tremendous input into the workings of this nation. We pray, O God, for the cabinet members, Lord. We pray for these people, O God, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in the midst of all these leaders, that your will would be done in the cabinet members in the White House. We pray, O God, that your hand would be upon the senators and the congressmen, that, Lord, your kingdom would come into the hearts of these men and women who are in these high places, and that you would touch their lives, and that they would come acknowledging you in some way, in all humility, that, oh God, they would not be proud and arrogant. We pray for the Supreme Court justices, Father, that you would give them true judgment, true justice in this country, in whatever way it may affect this present crisis. We pray, oh God, for the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military people who are being called upon in this time of crisis, that your hand would be on them, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in the hearts and minds of these leaders, Father. We pray, oh God, for the governors of this nation, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and minds, and that they would seek to do that which is good and right in your sight, that you would give all of these people your wisdom, your discretion. And Lord, we pray that party bickering would be put away, that you would do a miracle of granting all of these leaders to be of one heart and one mind to seek solutions that are realistic in the midst of this crisis, and that you would search their hearts and minds in the night times when they're on their bed, that they would come to an acknowledgement of you, O God. We just lift them up unto you, Father, knowing that you see each one and that you are able to turn the heart of each one to do that which is good and right. We ask, O God, that you would help them to be honest. We ask that you would help them to be transparent. We ask that you would help them to not be distorting the truth or hiding the truth, but that you would help them to come in all humility and acknowledge that which is real. We ask that you would be with them, Father. Lord, we are just individuals here unable to have any influence directly upon them, but, oh God, you are God over them, and we ask that you would work and move in their lives for this nation in this crisis, Lord, and that people would have their eyes opened and see that you are and that they need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Pastor Fidel has texted me, asked me to speak for 50 minutes. And, let me reread. That's 5 minutes. Never mind. 5 minutes is what that was. You know, I heard my brother Dan say that he was bewildered. And I'm bewildered too. But I'm also incredibly hopeful. I want to read a little bit and some of the things that I think are happening. My son called me. My son lives he's an electric lineman, and he lives in Salt Lake City. And he called me this morning about 8:15, and he said, "Dad, we just had a 5.9 earthquake," or whatever it was, I don't remember exactly. And he said, 50,000 people are without power. And he was up on a hill working. They're putting in a new power line in one of the mines above the city, one of the open pit mines, and they were up there, and he said, "Dad, it was like the ground was rolling," and he said every so often you'd see the explosions of the electrical, and he said it was nothing like I'd ever seen in my life. And and my wife has been in California. She flew out last Monday and to be with my daughter. and who's in going to college in California, and they decided that they better come back, and they're going to close the borders, and so they're here, and they're going to meet in Montana if they can get across the border. They're on their way right now, and so I've been praying for their safety and praying, since we'll have two women in the house, that I have enough toilet paper for two women. We have enough for one, but sometimes that takes a lot more. But seriously, I mean, and my other son, my one from Salt Lake City, said we were going to meet at our house here in Montana. And my other son, who's in the Coast Guard in Tennessee, they're having flooding and different things going on there. Friends, it's amazing. But what I said to them this morning was this: our true meeting place is going to be in heaven. And no matter what else happens, be sure you get to heaven, because that is our true meeting place. Now, why am I bewildered? I'm bewildered because I thought God was going to get us out of here before all this happened. And I'm a little bit bewildered about that. But who knows where we'll be, if you're pre-trib, post-trib. But the scripture that I want to read you is on signs of the end of the age. And it's Matthew 24. And it says, "Watch out that no one deceives you." This is starting in verse 4, 24, verse 4. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ. I will deceive and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines." Did you hear about the locusts, by the way? "And earthquakes in various places. All these things are beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as the testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains or Montana. Let no one on the roof of this house go down for anything and to get out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and for those who are nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequal to the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." Who's the elect? Raise your hand. "Those days will be shortened. At the end of time, if anyone says to you, 'Look here, there's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe the false prophets. And false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect." Even the elect. Do not be deceived, friends. If that were possible, see, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you there he is out there in the desert, don't go out there. Anyway, it continues and it says, "At the time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Friends, we will never, ever pass away. and pestilence will come, and things will come, and this is the beginning of the birth pains. And we can be bewildered, which I understand that, or we can be excited. Stand firm in the faith today and keep the Lord in sight. You know, I mean, I just lost half my retirement savings. And I mean, I'm 64 years old. I don't have time to make that up. But you know what I believe? I believe that I don't put my riches in the here on the earth. I put my riches in heaven. We have an incredible opportunity right now to witness to people and tell them why we're not scared. Why are you not afraid of this? Because I believe in the end. My neighbor texted me today and told me how scared she was. I said, have no fear. I have no fear. Not that I'm not worried a little bit about things, but I have no fear because I know the meeting place is in heaven. So as we pray for our nation, I want to pray, and I will lead this, but I want you to pray with me, and I'm going to let you guys pray for 30 seconds, and then I'm going to come in. Pray that people will see the truth in what is going to be happening. Maybe this isn't the end. Maybe this is just nothing. But it sure could be. Maybe this is the beginning of the birth pains. And our opportunity to witness to others and to tell them why we're not afraid is mind-boggling. This is what we need to be doing. So I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to wait 30 seconds. And I want you to pray for friends like on your Caris list and on your list and the people and your neighbors. And pray for those people and then pray for an opportunity to tell them why you're not afraid. Okay? So let's pray. Lord God, we come together as a group of people, Lord, and we really, Lord, we want to be cautious, but we should not stop gathering together, even if it's just two or three of us, Lord, that are gathering together to pray. Lord, and we need to encourage each other, Lord, remind us of that. And Lord, we do not deserve anything you gave us. When the prodigal son came home, he said to the father, as you know, Lord, he said, I don't deserve anything. Just make me a hired servant. And the father wrapped him around and just loved on him. Lord, you want to wrap around and love on us. Lord, if we've sinned, you want to forgive us. I pray that our nation would turn back to you. But if it does not, I pray for the remnant that is here in this country today. The remnant of people that believe in you. Lord, let us not be overcome with fear. Lord, look at the lilies of the field. They do not sweat anything like that. Look at their beauty. Their beauty is better than the king's. Basically, that's what it says. Lord God, I pray right now that the people that are listening to this and those of us that are here would not be afraid. That we would take this opportunity and we would be strong to witness in the last days, Lord, because we know when the last person comes to Christ, you're coming back. And Lord, what a glorious meeting place we're going to have in heaven. Lord, let us dwell on that and keep our faith and keep our encouragement. Lord, and let us just be glorious with bright shining faces that people will say, what is up with you? And then give us the words and the strength to tell them. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Was asked to pray for healing. Praise God. So let's read from the book of Numbers, Numbers 21, read verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 says, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bite anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and leave. So let's go to the book of John and see how Jesus interpreted this Old Testament event. John 3, 14 and 15. John 3, 14 and 15. 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. So I was thinking about praying for healing. And this verse or this event came into my mind or into my thoughts. Okay. Is it better now? Okay. It's not yet. It's good now? All right. But I hope everybody got the verses and read. Okay. We don't have to repeat that. So when I was looking at these verses, something came into my mind. The Bible said that and Moses made a serpent, and anyone who looked at it was made well. The problem there is that there was a real serpent, a very real live serpent, that was biting people, and actually it was biting people. And the instruction was everyone should disregard this serpent, this live serpent that is here biting, and look at the one that is raised up there that seemed not to be alive. Praise God. So I was then thinking that could this coronavirus be this real live virus biting people? And anyone who will raise his head and look at the one that seems not to be alive, which is Jesus. And Jesus actually said that he who looks up to him, praise God. So, therefore, healing comes not because you look at the bite of the snake. Healing comes when we disregard the prevailing problem. We disregard what is currently. Not that it is not real. 3,000 people cannot die of something that is not real. It's real. Just like the biting snakes were real in the time of Israel. And the snake that was raised up looked not to be real. But then it was healing. So we will pray. Therefore, I have two prayer points on that note. The first prayer point is that we will ask that around the world, as many as have been bitten by this snake and other snakes, maybe the snake of cancer, the snake of any disease, any sickness, as they raise their gaze towards Jesus, let them receive their healing. Praise God. that let everybody receive their healing as they raise up their faces or their eyes to Jesus, as they did in the wilderness. Let them receive their healings. When we pray this prayer point, I will give the second and the last prayer point, and that will be what I have. I want you to pray. Open your mouth and pray. I believe in you praying, not somebody praying and you sit quiet and listen. So after you pray, I will finish that prayer point. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up everyone that has been bitten by this snake. Father, around the world, that as people will raise their eyes towards Jesus, each and everyone will receive healing. Father, we use people in this assembly as point of contact, people who are sick with various things, cancer and other things, Father. We use them as point of contact that as they look up to Jesus, each and everyone will be healed. We pray, O Lord Jesus, that your healing balm will flow, that your healing power will flow, and we heal people. That we have miraculous healing, even those who are infected with this virus around the world. Father, we will hear testimonies how you miraculously heal people. We believe in this, and we thank you in advance for your healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The second prayer point I want to pray is that the origin of the biting of the snakes. Praise God. If we had read a little bit before these verses in the book of Numbers, Numbers 21, the Bible said that and they began to complain. So it was as a result of rebellion. Rebellion was the origin of this event in the New Testament. And if we want to bring it a little bit, there is no generation that has been more rebellious than this generation to the word of God and to the ways of God and to the will of God. Praise God. There has never been a generation. So we are praying that the prevailing problems will cause people all around the world to look up to Jesus, where they are. And that is where the healing is. So we want healing, but healing is in Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you have healing. So we would not just pray that God heal people, but we'll pray that this will be the reason why people will look up to Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible said that, and when Moses went back to God, God said to Moses, just raise a serpent. And anyone who looks at it, anyone who decides to look at it, will be saved or will be healed. So I want us to pray this last prayer point that every around the world, from Asia to Africa to South America, here in America, in Europe, let this be a pointer to Jesus. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that may this be like that event in the Old Testament that will cause people to look at Jesus. We pray that everyone will receive healing, but let them receive healing because they have looked up to Jesus. For there is no true healing without Jesus. Father, we pray, O God, from all the lands and everywhere where this virus is ravaging and other sicknesses and other disease, Father, we pray, O Lord, that it will point to Jesus. Everywhere around the world, that it will point to Jesus. That healing will come, but let it be, O Father, that people have decided to gaze to Jesus. Because the true healing is the healing of the spirit. The true healing is the healing of the soul. Oh, dear Father, we pray that this will be indeed an opportunity. Father, we pray and ask. The Bible said that by your stripes we were healed. by the stripes of Jesus. Therefore, we pray, O Lord, that we will receive healing. No matter how much the virus will be moving around, Father, we receive healing already in our bodies. We receive healing in this church. Oh, Father, we restrict the power of the virus. We hold back the power of the virus, oh, Father, that it will not devastate this community. Father, we hold back as a church and as assembly. Father, we speak against this virus that it will not do the purpose of the enemy. It will only accomplish the purpose of God. Thank you, dear Holy Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
And of course, I follow on the mic the guy who's actually working on the coronavirus, right? So, yeah, hopefully we don't get it. Anyways, little humor there. But I'm not, yeah, exactly. I'm not sick. I'm tired. So if my voice is failing, it's because I'm a healthcare professional and I'm really tired the last couple weeks. So that was my first prayer point. I also have two. My first prayer point would be for all the healthcare workers out there, all the grocery people, everybody on the front lines that's having to stay open, having to stay working, and then these two fine people, Amanda and Claude, here tonight, that there would be strength and that there would be hope. As I was talking to various people, various physicians and nursing staff and all sorts of people today, it's going to be a long, long battle, and it already is in a lot of places, and we're just kind of getting the tail end of this. And so we're going to pray for that tonight. The second thing we're going to pray for, which has really been on my heart today, is the church. And I'll explain that more in a little bit. But the passage I wanted to take you to, I don't know if you guys can hear me well enough, hopefully. Okay. The passage I wanted to take you to is actually in 1 Samuel chapter 6. And the context of this is Israel gets defeated by the Philistines. So they take the ark in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They take it in pride and in arrogance into their camp. The Philistines hear it because of the joy and the thunder literally from the Israelites' footsteps because they're so excited that God's presence is with their army. And the Philistines rise up and say, "Let us fight like men." And they actually end up capturing the ark because there's sin in the camp of the Israelites. And it's a sad story, and the Philistines end up capturing the ark for 7 months. And the ark travels to different places in all of Philistia and ends up going to three different towns. And in each of those towns, different things happen. God performs different miracles. The first one, their god falls over, the statue breaks. You'll probably remember that story. The people of that town end up getting tumors and get this sickness, this disease. And so it goes to the next town, and lo and behold, the same thing happens. And then the next town, and the same thing happens. And the Philistines react to that by saying, "Woe, woe is us. God's hand is heavy upon us." And here Israel is mourning, lamenting from their sin and the weight of what's happened. And the Philistines eventually get to the point where they're like, this is God. He's greater than ours. We're going to give the ark back. And so in verse 13, it's the end of this seven-month time, and it says the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting in the valley. And so here they are. They're working. They're laboring. They're toiling. They're doing what they do day in and day out. And it says when they looked up and they saw the ark, they were overjoyed to see it. And just like Jim was sharing earlier, there's a need for hope. I don't fear COVID. I don't fear it one bit. What I found bewildering is the lack of hope of God's people, the lack of hope of people without the Lord, which is pretty obvious, the fear response, all the things that are causing bewilderment in my heart are things that I have the answer for, that you have the answer for, the hope of Christ. And my prayer is that very similar to Claude, that there would be a day very soon where we look up and we see hope come, okay? And I want that hope in two forms. I want this virus to be over, one, because I'm tired, okay? But more importantly, as Claude shared, I want people to look at the hope of Jesus, okay? So we're going to take a little bit of time, and we're going to pray for our healthcare professionals, in particular nurses, doctors, but all those people on the front lines. So let's pray. Father God, we trust you. God, we know that you are the great physician, that you have all the answers. Father, there isn't any part of this that is a surprise to you. God, you are in complete and utter control. And I know so many days, God, we just say that. God, that those are simply words that we read and it doesn't really penetrate in our hearts. But God, I pray that it would penetrate in our hearts. God, that we would look to you not only as the great physician, that the one who eventually, Lord willing, will end this virus. God, but we would look to you as so much more. God, as the only begotten Son of God, as the one that we can look to and be saved. Father, you are our hope. God, you are the answer to this. And so, Father God, I do pray for our healthcare professionals. God, those people out there that are diligently working, that are putting themselves at risk. God, that are doing their best to love their fellow person. God, and sometimes just doing their job. God, I pray that you would give them strength. God, you would give them sleep. You would give them rest. You would give them protection. God, where there's wisdom needed, God, that you would grant wisdom. Father, that in all of this, you would cover them. God, and most importantly, God, that as Father God, the dark nights come and the frustrating days, Father, I pray that they would find a hope that is bigger than the hope of defeating Corona. God, that they would find the hope of Jesus Christ. God, be with all those essential businesses that have to stay open. God, be with those that are going to provide for the needs of people. Father, we pray for all of them, God, that you would use this, God, to your advantage, God, that your name would be risen, Father, that people would look to you and would be saved. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And secondly, I wanted to share this. As kind of the last few days have just been long, and I've been kind of thinking about different studies I've read and looking at what's going on in the world, and what a fine time to be the church of God. There's not a more clear opportunity that I can think of in my time of being a Christian to love the person next to you. And maybe you can't do it because of social distancing, you got to stay 6 feet away, but you know what, there's absolutely ways to do that. And in thinking about that, what a way for God to purify the church and how we love. There's a lot of things that we can hide behind. We can come to church and we can shake hands and say, well, I'm okay, and actually hide behind the reality of what we're going through and what we're experiencing. And we can casually tell somebody that, hey, we're going to pray for you, and then we get home and we watch football and we forget about it. We can't do things like that in the next couple weeks or months. That's not going to happen. Okay, instead of trivial, thank you, Amanda. Instead of just these trivial responses, this is the perfect time to love the person next to you, and maybe not do it with your hands this time, but to actually do it with your heart. And because of that, my prayer has been for the church to be one, and to figure out how the Lord wants us to be one, not in presence, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and specifically in prayer. We have been given a unique time as a church, and I'm not just talking Cornerstone Bible Church, but our church as a nation, where we're going to be tested. Are we going to be the type of church that, well, you know, we're not going to have service today, so we're going to do our own thing. So we're gonna feed our flesh, and we're going to act in the way that we want to act? Or are we going to take these unique times of prayer and aloneness to actually be with God and to actually invest in prayer for one another? And there's the challenge. And the American church needs to rise up and use this time to love each other well, even when we can't do it with our hands. So that's my prayer. And as we pray for that, we're going to look at John chapter 18, excuse me, 17, verse 21, it says, this is Jesus' prayer for all the disciples. He says, may they be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. There is no better time for those that are living in the fear of the world without Christ, without hope, without a cause, without a purpose, to look in at the church and say, even in the midst of a global pandemic, those people have hope. Those people have hope, have a reason to be doing what they're doing, and they are loving well. So can the church of God do that? And that's our challenge as a church. That's our challenge as a nation. So we're going to pray that indeed the church may be one. And even as I look out on the least attended Wednesday night prayer meeting, I have full confidence that CBC is trying their best to hear me on Facebook Watch and is praying tonight. And for that, we can say yes and amen, right? So we're going to pray together, and we're going to pray that the church of God would be one. Father God, we come before you, God. We kneel our hearts to you, God, as the great unifier. Father, as the one that can draw people from Cameroon and Uganda and China and the Bitterroot and can put them together in one body called Cornerstone Bible Church. God, you're the one who did that, and we glorify your name. God, I pray that in the midst of separation, God, in the midst of isolation, in the midst of social distancing and these things that, Father, may or may not help, Father, we pray, God, that you would unify your body. God, that you would take your church and you would teach your church, God, how to love. And, God, that it wouldn't just be our hands. God, that we would still look for ways to do that. But, God, that it would go deeper into our hearts and it would be an authentic desire and burden, God, that you would breathe alive in our hearts, Father, to love each other well. God, may we take these times of God, typically scheduled church and these times when you wake us up in the middle of the night, these times where we get anxious or worried, God, may we take all these to you and may we pray for one another. And God, I pray for the church as a whole, God, the church in the United States of America, Father God, that you would make her one. God, that this wouldn't be an opportunity to excuse unattendance, God, but it would be an opportunity to look and say, what am I missing? God, what can I do? How can I love? How can I be used of the holy, mighty God? And Father, I pray that during this time you would use, God, this to call and to equip and to perfect your church. God, that you would bring her to a place where people, where the lost can look at her and say, I want what she has. I want that hope. I want that faith. I want that peace. God, make your church one that the world may believe. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We know, God, you are more than able to do this. So, God, I pray again that your church would humble herself, would pray, would repent, would seek your face, God, that the world may be one. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for leading us to pray tonight. And I'm sorry for texting some of you late. I know there are many people praying along with us at home through Facebook, and I just want to remind us, and as Pastor Dan said, thank you. This is a time that the enemy can easily step in and separate us. Even if we are having church or not, I want to encourage you to check on one another. Do texting. But one thing I want to tell you is that I don't have enough rice. So if you're texting me, make sure you're going to bring rice to my home because I eat a lot of rice. So this is the final passage that I want to read to us as we go home tonight. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We need his grace, we need his mercy to navigate through every situation that we come across. And so that will be my prayer for all of us tonight and even those praying at home. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for Vanessa, keep praying for Dirk, keep praying for Nicole, pray for Pastor Ted, and keep praying for one another. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yeah, you can praise God for that. Just, yeah. So, Miss Lila is just testifying that Dex's CAT scan came back looking very good. Right? Yeah, so. No more. Yeah, so he'll continue with the chemo? Amen. Yeah, so keep praying for those people. That is the power of prayer. I mean, every Wednesday, not just Wednesdays, but Sundays and every day, I know there are people that have been praying for them. And we thank God. So keep praying for Vanessa. Pray for John to be strong, to stand by her. And please, I know how busy some of you are. Text at least one or two persons a day. And check on them and find out how they are doing. I think that is what is going to keep us united, as Pastor Dan shared. One of the ways that will keep us united is when we are conscious that we have one another out there to reach. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've spent before you, and we thank you for the answers. And now I pray that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship, and the power of the Holy Spirit abide with us, even here and those at home, now and forevermore, and that together we will continue to fight this battle till we get home. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.